Good morning and welcome to the Community Connection. It is Wednesday and it is Meet Your Neighbor Day today, and I have in the studio with me Bob Johnson. How are you doing, Bob?
Fine, thank you.
All right. I just want to say, years ago when I first met you at Dick Clay's funeral.
Okay.
I'm part of the family, and you made that so easy for everyone.
Thank you.
So I thank you for your work, and I guess it's interesting. I guess you loved it and still do it?
Part-time.
Still part-time.
Yeah.
Are you happy that Jared's come in and taken over?
Oh, yes. You bet. Can't believe it.
Pretty proud of him, huh?
Yeah, can't believe it.
Okay. Well, we are going to talk about your life today and find out more about you, Bob, and we'll do that in just a few moments here on Meet Your Neighbor Day.
Want a $100 bill? Hey, $100 bill. Who
every weekday morning at 7:50 and Saturday morning at 8, it's auction time. Auction time tells you about the unique items on the block in the region. We give you the headline items during the week and then actually get into details with the auctioneers on Saturday morning. Auction time, weekdays at 7:50 and again on Saturday morning at 8 on the station listened to, not just heard, WFIW and WFIWradio.com.
Get a lost soldier away, $145.
We are back on the Community Connection. We're talking to Bob Johnson. And so are you originally from Fairfield, Bob?
No, I'm from over in Hamilton County, Broughton.
Oh, Broughton, okay. Yeah. Who were your parents?
Well, my dad and mother were divorced.
Oh, okay.
And I lived with my grandfather, my sister, and my mother till I was 18.
Okay.
I got drafted. And then I went to school. I never went back home, really.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, thank you for your service.
Thank you.
All right. So what was it like growing up in Broughton?
Well, a very small town. You know everyone in town.
Mm-hmm.
You knew who was sick. When they used to toll the bell when somebody died.
Really?
And I was very, very young.
Uh-huh.
And there was a gentleman lived two doors from us. And of course, I thought he was really old, but he died at 99. And I remember going out in the front yard and counting the we only lived a block from the Baptist church.
Right.
And they always tolled the bell, and that thing tolled 99 times, so everybody knew who died, you know.
Oh, okay. So they tolled the bell once for every year of your life.
Yes,
okay.
Yes.
All right. Where did you go to grade school then?
In Broughton.
Broughton.
And then they had a three-year high school.
Oh, okay.
And then the fourth year, I had to go to El Dorado.
Uh-huh.
And for my fourth year.
Oh, okay. So you technically graduated from El Dorado?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, that's where I met Thelma.
Oh,
yeah.
You met Thelma at El Dorado?
Yep.
Okay. Is she originally from El Dorado?
Yeah, she was from El Dorado.
Okay. So then you served in the Army? Or?
Yeah. See, everybody was getting drafted,
mm-hmm.
and I didn't want the Air, and I didn't want the Navy.
Okay.
So I let them draft me. Now, most of my people in my class, boys,
mm-hmm.
you know, joined the Navy, but I didn't want that.
Okay.
So I let them draft me, and they sent me to, this was at the end of the war.
Okay.
And they sent me to Japan
mm-hmm.
to serve my time, and put me in the Army Air Force.
Army Air Force.
Of course, it's not active anymore.
Right.
But I was in the Army Air Force.
Okay.
When I got to where I was going, they lost my papers. So they put me in the 5th Station Hospital at Atsugi Air Base. And I built a supply room.
Okay.
And I'll never forget it. I got it all done. And I was really busy, and this captain came along, and he said, who did this? And I said, sir, I did. And he said, go down to the supply and get you sergeant stripes. He said, you deserve them. And I was busy, and I don't know, maybe an hour, he came back, and he said, soldier, I've got some bad news. He said, you don't belong here. And, of course, you always refer to your company commander as the old man,
uh-huh.
you know, no disrespect.
Right.
And that was just it. And he said, the old man says, you don't belong here, and he can't authorize it. But he said, we're going to find your papers. Well, they found him in a couple of days. And this was an air sea rescue outfit.
All right.
And I was at the air base, and I needed to be at the PT boat down in Yokohama Harbor. Of okay. all places to go, the two things I didn't want, that's what I got. But it wasn't that bad. I was a medic, motor pool sergeant, I don't know what all.
Okay.
I served my time there.
Okay. What was it like in Japan just after the war?
Everything was burnt. See, they used incendiary bombs.
Uh-huh.
And most of the huts, I call them huts, were like tin roofs on barns.
Mm-hmm.
And they were black.
Oh, okay.
Everything was burnt up.
Yeah.
There was a large aircraft carrier in the harbor that had been disabled.
Uh-huh.
Wasn't sunk. It just sitting there. And I guess they tore it up. I don't know. But, yeah, it was something.
Mm-hmm.
We lived in a Japanese motel, no doors, no windows, snowed on us. I woke up that morning, my feet were covered in snow, you know. I was about ready to go home. But I served my time there, but it wasn't that bad.
Okay.
I was a medic also.
Okay.
And now this would be 5 years before Korea.
Okay.
And everybody during the war got sick with sleeping sickness.
Mm-hmm.
And so I gave everybody sleeping sickness shots. And we had a dry dock, I guess, during the war that was hidden in Korea.
Okay.
And that's where they took the PD boats to be repaired.
Mm-hmm.
And so they decided that the boys up at the dry dock in Korea needed sleeping sickness shots.
Okay.
And so they sent me up there. Well, you can't sink a PT boat. You can blow it up. You can do anything you want to. That sucker is going to float.
Okay.
You know. And we started, and a storm come up. If I remember correctly, the PD boat would go 300 miles.
Okay.
So you can only go 150 because you got to come home.
Right.
Right. We started, and I tell you, I was never so scared in my life. That boat wouldn't stay in the water. The waves would hit it, and you'd go up, and then when you come down, it'd throw you in the floor.
Right.
And we decided we couldn't make it.
Okay.
And so I never got to Korea, which was a good deal. But that was one of the things I remember most.
So did you volunteer for medic training, or did they decide
no.
you were?
No. We was only 17 in our outfit.
Okay.
We had four PT boats.
Okay.
And I remember five, nine or five.
Okay.
But, it was just small. Just whatever needed to be done, I did.
Okay. All right. So how long did you serve?
A little over a year.
A little over a year.
Of course, the fathers went home first.
Uh-huh.
And then the married men.
Mm-hmm.
And then the draftees.
Okay.
And so that was the protocol.
Okay. Do you ever get together with any of the people from?
You know, I take the Legion magazine, and I look, but I think we were too small a group, to ever get together.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so where do you go after your service is up?
I came home, and I always wanted to go to mortuary school.
Okay.
But my mother couldn't afford it, and I knew I could never go.
Uh-huh.
But that didn't keep me from wanting to go. And then I learned I could go under the GI Bill.
So
I went up to Chicago and signed up, and they paid my tuition and gave me $75 a month to live.
Wow, $75 a month?
Uh-huh, to live. I can tell you what I lived on. Spaghetti.
Spaghetti.
You could get not a plate, but a platter.
Okay.
Of spaghetti for 50 cents.
All right.
And I had it every day because I didn't have any money.
Right.
But, I went to bombing school, Worsham College of Mortuary Science.
And they're still in business today, aren't they?
Oh, yes. They're in Wheeling. I really practiced at Cook County Hospital in the basement.
Okay.
That was a coroner's office. And you could go over there, and they would give you a number.
Mm-hmm.
You go open a drawer for a body. That's how we learned to embalm.
Oh, okay.
And but it's in Wheeling now.
All right. So why did you want to become a mortician?
I think it was local mortician. See, back those days, flowers were just sprays. They weren't in containers.
Okay.
And the funeral director always asked my mother to help carry flowers.
Oh, okay.
And, of course, he drove that big black Packard, you know. So I was impressed. So everybody thought I was crazy because no one ever in my family, you know, wanted to do what I do.
Right.
But I got 71 years in, so, you know, that's been a long time.
Okay, so where is Thelma in all of this?
I met her in high school.
You met her in high school. Okay.
I was going to shop class down the steps, and she was coming up.
Oh, okay.
And
all right, so when did you get married?
49.
49.
Yeah, I got my license. I served my apprenticeship at Carmi.
Okay.
And she was at El Dorado working at the hospital. She's a lab technician.
Oh, okay.
And she was working at the Pierce Hospital. And, of course, I always wanted an ambulance called El Dorado, you know, for sure. She'd be waiting at the door, you know.
Okay.
But we dated from 44 to 49.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. All right. We are going to take a break. We'll be back in just a few moments, and we'll start right there at 49 when just after you got married. Okay?
Okay. Thank you.
All right. We will be back in just a few moments with Bob Johnson. This is Meet Your Neighbor on the Community Connection.
Hi, Mike Reith here, and I just helped the Wayne County Humane Society by nominating it for free cat litter from catspride.com. I went to the website, gave them my email address, and nominated the shelter here in Fairfield. If you do the same, it'll help with one of the greatest needs in caring for cats at the shelter. It's simple, there's no obligation, it took me a minute. So go to catspride.com, follow the prompt to the Wayne County Humane Society. It will help. Thank you.
We are back on the Community Connection. We're talking to Bob Johnson. And so it's 1949. You are serving an apprenticeship in Carmi.
Yeah, Carmi.
Right?
Uh-huh.
All right. And that's necessary for you to get your license.
One year of apprenticeship.
Okay. And Thelma is down in Harrisburg at the hospital.
El Dorado
at the hospital. And you're still seeing each other.
Yes.
So. You got married in 1949?
Yes.
And so then what about kids?
We got three kids. One is a city manager. He just retired this week.
Okay.
And he lives in Alabama.
Okay.
And the other one has his doctorate in animal science.
Okay.
And then Martha married Brad Vaughn, live here in Fairfield.
Oh, okay. All right. Then after you got married, are you living in Carmi or are you living in El Dorado?
No, I live in Carmi.
You lived in Carmi.
Yeah, I made $10 a week.
Wow, $10 a week.
Yes, for a year.
For a year.
Yes.
As an apprentice.
Yes.
Okay. Was it worth it?
That's where I got my money.
Okay.
I can tell you a funny story.
Yeah.
There were three funeral homes.
Okay.
And we were all friends, but I kept seeing this man, well-dressed, nice-looking guy, drove a two-door Cadillac coupe. And very nice, you know.
Right.
And just an interesting guy, but only saw him once in a while. So I asked, I said, who is this? And they said, well, he works at Harrisburg at WEBQ.
Oh, yeah?
And I said, oh? I said, what's his name? It said Tom Land. And Peggy.
I thought Peggy
was a beautiful girl.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and her English brogue. Oh,
yes.
Everybody liked her.
Everybody loved Peggy.
And then when they decided to come to Fairfield, why, Tom and I were friends till he passed away.
Right.
Yeah.
So how did you move up to Fairfield? When did that come?
Well, Thelma and I wanted to get married. Mm-hmm. But on $10 a week, that was out of the question.
Right.
And so her dad was one of the nicest people that ever helped me in my life.
Okay.
And he came to Carmi and said, you need to quit this, and we'll find you a job somewhere else. And so anyway, I ended up in Fairfield and been here for 70 years, I guess. So,
okay.
Yeah.
So what was the job that would pay more?
An embalmer working at a funeral home. Yeah.
Oh, working at the funeral home here.
I couldn't find a job, and I ended up in Gary, Indiana, as a crane operator at U.S. Steel.
Okay.
making $2.50 an hour.
Okay.
Quite a raise from $10.
Yeah.
And so Fem and I lived there for, I think about a year. But the guy I worked for, he was unhappy that I was there. He thought I needed to be at a funeral home.
Oh, okay.
And I'm sure you know Leland Meeks.
Yes.
Leland worked for the funeral home.
Mm-hmm.
And he was dating his wife who lived upstairs.
Okay.
Diva.
And yeah.
So anyway, Leland didn't like it. He said every time he went home to eat, they got an ambulance call. And he was going to, and still goes to Ellen Moore.
Right.
And my wife's aunt went to Ellen Moore.
Okay.
And he told Aunt Ethel that he was quitting. He didn't like it. She told Thelma's mother, and Thelma's mother called us. And that's how I got in Fairfield.
That's how you got in Fairfield. When I first moved to Fairfield, I found it odd that funeral homes would make the ambulance runs.
Oh, yes.
Was that hard to do?
That started years ago because they only had a vehicle somebody could lay in.
Oh, okay.
That's how that got started.
But it was just convenience.
Yes, yes.
Okay.
You know, most funeral directors will tell you that, you know, the ambulance business was a losing proposition.
Okay.
But I'm here to tell you that's how I built my business.
Really?
Yes. And I was young. I didn't mind getting up and taking someone, you know, that was sick to the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the last year that we were in the ambulance business, myself, Rudy Yodi, and Fred Smith made 411 ambulance calls.
Wow.
That's the last year.
Okay.
I was up every night. But it was fun. Or not fun, but
interesting.
I wanted to help somebody. Hey, that's it. Didn't bother me. And I could hit that bed and be asleep and 2 minutes. I can't do that now. I helped Jared once in a while. He gets, the other day he had 3 funerals the same day.
Wow.
So I took one to Wayne City. He had one at, I think, Northside Baptist and one at the funeral home.
Oh, okay.
So I help him, he gets in a bind. But I'm having breathing problems.
Oh, okay.
And I can't exert.
Okay. All right. So, let's talk about what's the hardest part about a funeral?
Well, your friends.
Okay.
See, nearly everybody now, Jared's burying that I've known for years.
Mm-hmm.
And they still ask for me.
Uh-huh.
I had a gentleman the other day, his wife passed away, and he said he'd like to have me. So I went.
Okay.
I couldn't hardly breathe, but I went.
Okay.
People like it. You know, you don't forget people like that.
Right.
So I think we build our business on Thelma quit her job. She worked for Dr. Jannings and Dr. Marks for 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
And when I bought the funeral home, bought Mr. Dixon out, why, she quit her job to help me.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to be on that front door.
Okay.
And I think that's how we build our business.
When you bought, what was it like making the decision to go from employee to employer when you bought the business?
Well, Mr. Dixon was sick.
Oh, okay.
And I'd been there all these years.
Right.
And even though I didn't own it, I went to every visitation at night, wasn't paid for it.
Mm-hmm.
So when I took over, there was no change.
Okay.
You know?
So you were really the face of Dixon Funeral Home.
Yes. Yeah, okay. Really. Yeah.
And then when the change to Johnson.
Yeah. Yeah.
The building that you occupy is so interesting.
Yes.
Now, it used to have a third floor?
Yes.
Okay.
1905, it was a dance hall floor.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
And in 1905, I don't think I ever knew what caused the fire, but they had a fire,
mm-hmm.
and it burnt the third floor.
Okay.
Didn't burn it down, but it burnt a big hole in it.
Right.
And what they did was they just covered the stairway. Stairway's still there.
Uh-huh.
And if we needed a spindle for the stairway, just go up there to get one and repaint it, you know, get the black off of it and use it. But, yeah, the floor is still there. And then, of course, Mr. Dixon lived on the second floor, and I guess them and I lived there for about 17 years.
Oh, yeah.
And then Jared lived there till he got married,
uh-huh.
and then he bought a house.
So, okay.
Yeah, yeah. It's an old building.
Okay, so when Jared decided to buy the building, buy the business from you, or buy into the business, yeah. What was that like?
Well, of course, the first place is I couldn't believe I had a grandson that's going to, you know, take over the business.
Okay.
You know, but he was in high school. He always wanted to help me.
Really?
And I should have known.
Uh-huh.
But I didn't. And then when he worked for me for a while, and he said, I'd like to go to embalming school. And
uh-huh.
I said, go for it. You know, so he, Mr. Halfley,
yeah.
started the business. Funeral home's 100 years old.
Right.
And Mr. Halfley started in 1918. And he went to Worship's College in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
I went to Worship's College, and Jared went to Worship's College.
Okay.
Which is kind of neat.
Yeah,
really.
That is.
You know.
Did you send him $75 a month to live on?
I'm sorry. No, more than that. But that's the truth. We would divide the spaghetti.
Uh-huh.
A couple of guys. They were like me. You know, most of the students, their parents had a funeral home.
Okay.
You know.
Yeah.
And I was kind of a black sheep. I didn't have any money. Never really been in an embalming room.
Mm-hmm.
But you could go over to the hospital, and the Cook County morgue was in the basement.
Mm-hmm.
So we would go there and tell them who we were. They'd give us a number. We'd go down in the basement, which was further down. Had two or three basements.
Yeah.
Had be a locker, and there was a body. And then there usually two of us. And we'd find that number, pull that locker open, and take the body out. And when we first started, you just do a leg or you do an arm,
okay.
or whatever, because that body's cold,
right.
and it's not going to embalm. Swell is awful. But you learned how the arteries were and all that.
Uh-huh.
And that's how I learned to embalm.
And that's how you learned.
Yeah.
Okay.
And Jared did the same thing, except... I don't know how many years later. But Jared's a good embalmer.
Okay.
Very good.
All right. Well, what do you think of the business today? What do you think about Johnson & Vaughn Funeral Home?
Oh, one thing for him, he knows how to handle people.
Okay.
He likes old people, and they like him.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, of course, back when I started, you took the bodies back home.
Okay.
And even when I came to Fairfield, we took everybody back home.
Okay.
And then
so you embalmed them, then you took them to their home.
Yeah. And then in the 50s, somewhere in the 50s, they started building houses with a closet right inside the front door,
mm-hmm.
to put your galoshes and your raincoat. You couldn't get a cot in there.
Right.
So you had to go in the back door. And that's when they started taking the bodies back home.
Oh, okay.
So.
All right. All right. Well, Bob, we are just about finished.
Okay.
Is there anything else you want to say?
No. I appreciate you having me.
I appreciate you coming in, making time for me today, and I appreciate all you've done for all the families here in Fairfield.
Thank you very much.
All right. That's going to do it for today here on Meet Your Neighbor with Bob Johnson.